Good morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. We're going to go back to the book of Genesis this week and study some of the passages in the Bible. I want to really get into the Joseph story this week. And why I want to do this is because I believe the Bible is true. And, of course, I believe the Bible is the ultimate resource for life. And so when I say that, I want to explain more what I mean by actually showing you from the Bible how it can be a resource for us. There are some themes that are taught in the New Testament that are so important and foundational for us to have success in life, for us to have peace, for us to have joy. And among those, and right front and center, I would say, is that God is sovereign, that God is good, and that He is in control. And so when things come up in our life that have us in pain, that have us filled with doubt, that have us filled with fear, anxiety about the future, the number one thing we can do is really grab a hold of and believe in our heart and have faith that God sees it, God knows about it, God loves us, God cares, God's in control, and there's a good purpose behind every decision He makes. Now, it's one thing to state those things, and you find many places in the New Testament that state this or state principles based on this, like Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which means whatever problems come my way, I know Christ is there with me. Christ has a purpose behind it. I can have joy knowing that Christ is going to do something good through it, that He wouldn't allow it to happen if it wasn't for my good. And so I can face it with a good spirit, with peace and joy in my heart. That's what he's really stating there when you look at the whole context. Paul also states that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. We see that Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I believe that's a promise we can hold on to. If we really come to Jesus, meaning we say, I don't want to do things my way, I want to do things Jesus' way. I want to study and meditate on His teachings so I can understand them and apply them to my life and build my life around His principles. He will give us rest from those things that pressure us and burden us. So those are all things that are taught in the New Testament, and sometimes we focus on those New Testament teachings. I want us to go back to Genesis, and Genesis is full of stories, and these stories tell us the same principles. And sometimes it's so important for us to see how these principles work their way out in the lives of ordinary people, people who had great struggles and challenges, just as great as the ones we face on a regular basis, people who had lives filled with sin and selfishness and pride and deceit and family chaos and broken relationships, just like us. And yet we can see how God works through their lives to bring about good, to bring about things that say, yes, God, you're glorified through that. When we see it through the stories, and by the way, this is the foundation on which those New Testament teachings come, but I think it's important for us to come back to what they're basing that on. They're basing it on how God acts throughout the book of Genesis and then later on in the Bible, but it starts in Genesis. Of course, we know that God creates the world and people in the beginning, in the early chapters of Genesis, but then in Genesis chapter 11, the Bible tells us about how He begins to work through a special family, and He calls out Abraham to go to a new land and promises that Abraham is going to have this great family, even though his wife is now in her 70s and is well beyond the age of being able to have children, but God says, Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. And the rest of Genesis and on into Exodus, we read about how God builds this great nation. And this family is really, they've got problems. They've got issues. I mean, you talk about a family that is dysfunctional, a family that, well, we're going to get into the Joseph story eventually, but I want to set up, what is this family like? Because it is a family we can relate to, a family we might even look down on as being more scandalous than us, but if we're honest, they're just like us. You have Jacob, who is the father of Joseph and his 11 brothers. And so we're going to focus on his story, the 11 brothers, the mothers, Rachel and Leah, they all play a part in the story. And I want to begin just laying some of the foundation of who these people are. So Jacob is someone who is known for his deceit. He is the grandson of Abraham. He knows about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, but he doesn't know if he's ready to make that God his God. He's still kind of open. He wants to explore his options. And so we find him as a grown man full of deceit. He tricks his father into thinking that he is his brother. He steals, in his brother's terms anyway, the birthright from his brother. Then he tricks his father into giving him the blessing when his father Isaac meant to give it to Esau. His very name, the name Jacob, means to deceive. In fact, his mother Rebecca reported that she had twin boys in her womb, and they end up being named Esau and Jacob, and they were wrestling with each other in the womb. Jacob was fighting to be the first one out so that he would have the rights of the firstborn. From even before birth is the sort of the story that really sets up how deceitful this man Jacob is. He really will do anything to get ahead. He's ambitious. He doesn't really believe in the God of his fathers yet. And by the time we get to the Joseph story, you have a man who has multiple children with four different women. He is polygamous. He is not a good husband at all. We're going to see examples of that. He's not a godly man through much of the story. And all of this sets up chaos in his family. I mean, to the point where the brothers are literally trying to kill each other. They end up selling their brother into slavery. But that doesn't all just happen out of the blue. There's a lot of background that builds up to that, all the family dynamics. So I'm going to begin this week by looking at a passage in the book of Genesis, chapter 29. We find that Jacob meets Rachel. He is fleeing from his brother Esau because Esau's trying to kill him. So we already have, you know, just all kinds of chaos in the family relationships. So Jacob leaves everything, flees to his uncle's house far away to get away basically from the law. They didn't have police back then, but Esau had a legal right really to seek vengeance on Jacob. So he's a fugitive, and while he's there, he sees this young woman who he immediately falls in love with, and he says, well, I'm going to do what I can to marry her. And it doesn't work according to plan. He ends up working for his uncle for 7 years for the right to marry his daughter Rachel. Rachel's the younger sister in the family, and Rachel is the one Jacob wants to marry, and he has the wedding and 7 years of work, and he's like, I finally get to marry Rachel. The Bible says he loved her so much that it seemed like days to him. And then he spends the night with his new wife, and in the morning he wakes up, and it's her older sister, Leah. Now, we don't know exactly how this happened. It may have been very dark. Leah may have worn a veil that completely covered her face. Leah clearly goes along with this plot to get Jacob to think she's Rachel. Otherwise, there's no way this could work. In fact, we'll see evidence of that in the text, that she deceived Jacob. Her father, Laban, deceives Jacob. And so Jacob marries a woman that he didn't plan to marry. Jacob is deceived in the same way he deceived his father and his brother Esau. Jacob and Esau have this competition going. Who's going to get their father to love them more? Now we also see that with Rachel and Leah. They're sisters that are in this competition to see who can get this man Jacob to love them more. And the stress and the burdens and the anxieties this causes are things we can relate to. We're going to see that in how Leah names her children tomorrow. But all along there's this promise. God says, come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. We'll see that play out in these stories as we continue throughout the week. If you have questions, would like to talk about some of the specific problems in your life, you can always call for free counseling. The number is 943-8237. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.